This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hi, I'm Jim. Welcome to the Unbound Performance Podcast, where we explore the world of sports and performance mindset training.
And I'm Caroline. Each week, we talk about the strategies, habits, and mental framework that help us to excel. Let's get into today's episode.
Yeah, I had lunch last week with a friend of mine, and her and her husband are developing this online service called College Hound, and it's to help parents and high school students kind of navigate the whole process of college admissions, what to look for, things like that. And so she was asking me about the possibility of doing some things for non-athlete clientele. And
you were like, hell yeah.
Well, it's a seamless thing because I told her it doesn't matter what it is you're trying to be good at.
Right.
Or if it has to do with just how to deal with stress or how to manage your thoughts so your health
pressure,
is better.
Emotions, like
all of it. Like there's just helpful ways to think and that produces, you know, more helpful emotions,
right.
More helpful behaviors. It doesn't matter whether you're an Olympic athlete or a concert pianist or
right.
brain surgeon
right.
Or a school teacher or
right.
whatever. And it definitely transcends vocation. Like it's just part of being a better person. You get to maybe choose more helpful thoughts. So
basically talking about how you can be a professional athlete, you can be a, you know, public speaker, you can be a concert pianist, and are all situations where having these mindset skills are beneficial.
Well, whether it's performance related or it can be
your life
performance as a husband, father,
sure.
friend,
yep.
Any way that we wind up leaving our thoughts to chance and just trusting that we'll react
do the right thing.
Wonderfully, that's less than optimal approach because whatever, we have a negativity bias, and we've talked about that in the past, where we'll say things to ourselves that are really unhelpful, or we'll perceive situations in a really unhelpful way and react accordingly, as opposed to being able to like take a pause, take a breath. The breath is a secret weapon across the board, all day long, everything you're doing. I don't care if you're standing in line at the grocery store, you want to like calm down, you know, dealing with kids, you want to keep calm, or, you know, if you're going to be performing,
right.
you know, giving a speech or, you know, a game that day, doesn't matter.
Well, and we talked last week in the podcast about venting that if you practice a skill in one area of your life, it's going to transfer to others. And so it's not just practicing that idea of not venting about certain things, but just in general, having that better mindset of looking for the solution rather than just talking about the problem is going to translate into all different aspects of life, similar to this, where if you have these mindset skills in standing in the grocery store, you're going to be able to employ them even better in a high pressure performance or stress situation.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I met with someone the other day and we were talking about using the breath as a way to improve his performance, period, whether it's at work, in his personal life. And he admitted he was quite skeptical beforehand.
As most are in the beginning.
Yes.
Is that woo-woo term again?
Woo-woo indeed. But it's funny how all these super high performers all do it. And I'm, for me, it's really been very helpful. Yeah. Just kind of throughout the day, take one of those slow, deep breaths or two. Yeah. And there are, I mean, there are formal breathing exercises, box breathing.
Box breathing, 4-7-8.
Yep. All those things that if at some point we'll probably talk in detail about how to do that.
You can guide me through some breathing. Couldn't even cut it
out. I know. That'll be entertaining.
I'll guide you. We want to watch you breathing on video.
Sure. So, I mean, there are a number of different tools that we can use to be our best, be who we want to be, but all of them center around not leaving our thoughts to chance and just kind of sailing through, hoping for the best, because that's not how we work.
No.
Like if we, and a lot of people, they don't believe that they can be better in that regard, or they'll quick to make an excuse or something.
That's just the way I am. So that's always been, which we talked about last week also.
Yep. And I think just a lack of confidence that they can become who they want to be. And
a lack of belief that it's possible for them.
Yes.
As opposed to the people who are already there and thinking you're just not in that realm or that world with them where it's possible for you. But everyone's, like we talked about Kobe when, like 10 episodes ago, about he wasn't the Kobe that he was at the very end when he first joined the league.
Oh, no question. And I mean, really no one is. I know I'm reading a book by this distance runner, Dina Castor, I just finished. And she wound up winning a bronze medal in the Olympics in the marathon. But the book is fascinating because it details her evolution as a thinker and how she perceived certain situations and how she improved tremendously. And that allowed her, when she started, she was not running marathons. And when she was pitched the idea of like running one, her initial
hell no from me.
Oh yeah, forget it. Well, I remember
it's a hard pass. That's the event I will not.
One of our friends, Tara, I remember she told me this. She was training to run a half marathon, and that was her plan. So she was good to go. And then when she's running it, she gets to the half marathon
she's
point.
Keep going.
I'm gonna just keep going. So she runs a whole marathon.
Sounds like something she would do. Or could just do without even having trained.
Which is just insane. but whatever. She was fun to coach, fun to play with.
Yeah, she really is.
So her, Dina Castor's, it's a fascinating book because of, she's very honest about her struggles, but an activity like running, it's all there is. It's time to think.
Yeah, such a mental game.
To see how she could evolve from running like 5K or 10K races to be able to be mentally on point for an entire marathon,
right.
You know, 2 hours and 20 minutes or whatever it was. That takes real training and awareness, but also belief that you can become who you're trying to become. Yeah. And of course, when she was pitched the idea of marathoning, she had doubts and like, ooh, fears.
Yeah.
But she winds up.
She could do it.
And yeah, and she had people around her who were encouraging her and telling her, you know, guiding her per coach.
Well, I think that's a great point, is having that support system to encourage you. Like, it's not lost on me that a lot of the reason that I will try anything and keep trying to solve a problem is because I had support in those things growing up. Of no one was ever like, oh, that's probably not for you. Or that's
who do you think you are?
Right. Who do you think you are? That's going to be way too hard. You'll never be able to. You know, I mean, the only thing was like, I got too tall for dancing at one point. But like, other than that, I mean, it was the support system of encouragement, because when you have that, you know, voice in the back of your head, which is another thing I will talk about, is how to train that one. But when you don't have that trained and you have that voice in the back of your head, having a support system to encourage you to be better, do better, reach for the stars, whatever you want to call it, is crucial to that success to get you to take a step into the door.
Yeah, and her coach was legendary, track coach Joe Behill. He's won untold number of national championships, college level coach, multiple Olympic medalists, and so much of his input is about the mental game, and very supportive in putting her in positions where she was going to struggle, yeah. But also reminding her, you can do it.
Right.
And I think that's
about that. Enduring struggle is what makes you stronger. So when you have that support system or encouragement to recognize that this is going to be something that will be a struggle, but if you can get past this, then we can go even further.
Well, and that's the whole point of, I don't care what it is you're involved with. If you have a mentality of, oh, that's going to be really hard. I can't do it. Okay.
Do it.
Well, I mean, plus who will you become? But if you frame everything as an opportunity, no matter how hard it is, no matter how daunting it is, I mean, literally your belief system affects every cell in your body. And you can either choose to be optimistic, hopeful, and aggressively so. And no matter what hard thing shows up, you want to be grateful for that, because that's how you're going to grow. That's how you're going to get tougher and better. And you become more resilient. And you go places that you never really thought you would otherwise. But if you shrink from those challenges and those tests, or you view them as obstacles that can't be overcome, well, then you'll always stay right where you are or regress.
Right.
And, you know, it goes back to the obstacle is the way, that book by Ryan Holiday, which I highly recommend, based on Marcus Aurelius's Meditations. And that's the path forward always. And instead of seeing something as a roadblock, oh, well, I guess I can't do that. Instead, you just take the bull by the horns, frame it in a way that, like, yeah, here I come.
Right.
And that just seems like a much better way to live to me than always avoiding, always not believing and living in our fears.
Well, we've talked about, you know, retraining the brain, that your brain doesn't know the difference between actual success and imagining success. When you think about, you know, we've talked about, you know, pre-game or pre-speech or pre-test, it's not just before a sports event that the basketball player envisions hitting a three-point shot. It can be the college student before a big exam imagining, you know, if I get to a question that's really hard, what's my reaction going to be? If something stumps me, what's my response going to be? And practicing that, what's, you know, my breathing response, what's my mental response, what's my emotional response? You gave that example once about Michael Phelps, you know,
right,
visualizing that his goggles fell off in a race and it happened and he just proceeded on because he had already, not only had he, like, he had practiced it, but his brain knew how to respond. His heartbeat and his breath knew how to respond. And so all of those, the more that we face and tackle and then achieve those difficult situations, the easier it becomes next time. And I think that that's where maybe people get confused. It's not that you're going to stop facing difficult challenges, but you won't view them as difficult.
Yeah, you view them as tests and challenges that are there for you to overcome.
And they're all cute. Like, they're not forever.
Exactly. Right? No, like, that's really good. Yeah.
Thanks.
I'm an encourager. I'm a believer, and I believe in you.
Mm. That gotcha, man.
Amen. So that imaging, you can do that for anything. I mean, if you know you have a meeting that day that could get dicey, see yourself answering those questions and meeting those challenges effectively. Yeah. It happens like for an AP exam.
Yeah.
All of it's the same.
I do this a lot, and I know other people do it as well. But if something, maybe this is back to the venting conversation, but if something really works me up, I don't intentionally do this, but part of my my thought process is, if I were to actually face someone and go talk to them about the issue, and then you have this mental fight with them in your head and see well, what if they say this and I'll say that, and then they'd say this. And usually we go to the really ramped up place that we would never actually do. And that's, I think that's that maybe adrenaline type response when you start having those feelings. But on the flip side, if you can do that intentionally with a positive goal in mind, to rather than, okay, I'm going to go have this verbal argument with this person and tell them how I really feel about X, Y, and Z, and I'll be prepared for their comebacks. But it's a similar similar strategy, right? Of like, okay, if this happens, then I'll pivot this direction. And then from there, if this happens, I'll be able to have these three choices and which one's the best outcome. And the more that you practice that, I'll be honest, I've gotten more confident in confrontations because I'm practicing them in my head.
Sure.
I used to be very anti-confrontational. Like it gave me, and I still get like the rapid heartbeat kind of thing when it happens, but I have no problem saying what I think at this point. That used to give me so much anxiety. And I mean, there is a level that like, that's not necessarily a good thing to always speak your mind in any situation. But in the situations where I really feel like it's the right thing to do to speak up and stick up for myself or somebody else, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I got some confidence just in my own head, like having those arguments and then realizing, okay, you don't have to be reactive with the things that just come out of your mouth. Like you can be prepared in that right. higher stress situation with the things that are important in an argument rather than just word vomiting all the, you know, curse words and names you want to call a person. If you can be productive in the things that you say as your responses, then that's a strategy.
Yes. And that's, well, and you use the word confidence. One, confidence can be trained and developed. Mm-hmm. And also confidence is fleeting.
Yeah.
Like you can't just think like, all right, now I'm confident.
Right. And, right.
And confidence levels vary from activity to activity. You may feel very confident on a tennis court, but not so confident in public speaking.
Sure.
So that's where having tools to help you perform any role is crucial and it's possible. And that's where, you know, when Shelley, who's one of the co-owners of College Hound, when she asked me about this, I was totally pumped.
Yeah.
Like, because anything that anyone is doing is meaningful to me. If they're doing it, it matters. And, you know, I don't care about, well, no, we only work with basketball players or athletes or like that is no. Like if we can help anyone be better and live a better life.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Then that's it.
Well, and you and I have talked about this before. This is not just for the athletes. It's for coaches. It's for parents of athletes. It's for anyone who's going to be around that environment, at least in the sports world. Whether you're an athlete and you're using these skills yourself, or you're a coach and you want to instill these skills in your athletes, or you're the parent of an athlete and you want to help them develop these skills because you know it's good for them in the long run, for their life, and not just in sports. And then it goes beyond sports. It's not just, like, we talk about volleyball all the time, but nothing about this other than the stories we tell has anything to do with volleyball itself.
It's, and it doesn't matter. You can be
anything.
A parent of a violinist.
Sure.
Or
you can be the parent of a student who just is very gifted in math, like being able to have.
Or even not gifted.
Not gifted, right.
And that's there are so many ways forward that it just doesn't matter about like your talent level.
We all have to proceed forward in life.
Yeah.
With whatever is on the table for us.
And you can learn. I mean, David Goggins is one of those kind of examples where he's really famous.
In what
world? Well, he passed the entrance testing for every special forces version of each military branch. And then wrote a couple of books. Can't Hurt Me was the first one. Huge bestseller. Then he becomes this crazy endurance athlete and set the world record for most pull-ups in 24 hours. Ugh. Things like that.
Another challenge I'll never have any interest in taking.
Yeah, same.
Pull-ups, push-ups, and marathons.
No.
Hard pass.
Lazy. You know, I read his books. I've heard him talk about like when he decided he wanted to go into the military. They have like a standardized test that you have to pass, and he couldn't pass it. And so he learned for him what he had to do. And he would write down notes and paragraphs and page after page after page and reread a paragraph over and over and over till he understood it. And it took him longer than it might take either of us.
But he had the willpower and the stamina
and
the drive to do so.
It didn't matter how hard it was.
Right.
And he winds up passing the exam. So what he overcame, I'm really poor family background and learning disabilities, and he was really overweight. And he decided he wanted to go into the military and then became something else entirely. And it's a fascinating metamorphosis for sure. And he could have stopped though. And I'm not good at,
I've got all these roadblocks. Yeah, I'm just going to let one defeat me.
Dyslexic or whatever. And instead he just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming until he did it.
Yeah.
And so I find him pretty inspirational in that regard. But that approach, if you just keep going, you keep getting up. I know I talk with this Team Edwards Serve Pro every Thursday morning, and one of the owners brought up the whole idea of getting up, keep getting up, and
do it again.
That's it. Yep. Like, as long as you don't stay down,
right?
You keep getting up.
We talked to him, at this point, about like dedication versus motivation. Dedication's always going to win. It's not always motivation of getting up and doing it again or thinking that you're going to always be excited to do it again. But if you have a goal in mind and you're dedicated to achieving that, then getting up and doing it again, trying again, not going to be defeated. It's not going to get me down.
Yeah. And I mean, it's only natural
to
give up when it's hard.
Sure.
But guess what? You don't have to just do what's natural.
Right,
you can become supernatural.
Yeah.
And not in a mystical way necessarily. Although I think you can tap into some of that.
I think we can fly.
In airplanes, yes.
I'm really glad that was your answer.
Yeah.
We would have had more conversations if you said yes.
But that approach to whatever it is, like if you just keep coming, keep going. You know, Winston Churchill, when you're going through hell, keep going.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do?
Right.
Stay down? Quit?
Well, and what, give up? What feels better, to say I kept going and I kept trying, or I quit?
Right.
No one's ever going to fault you and say, oh, you failed, but you're trying again. That's great. But if you just say, I failed, well, that's a whole different perspective on that. Like, people will always cheer you on. Some people might think you're a little nutty if you keep trying the same thing 100 times. But if you go into it, that whole insanity is doing the same thing,
right,
whatever that quote is. But again, if you go into it with a different angle because you've sharpened your skills or sharpened your approach, then people are only going to be supportive of that. And if they're not, then...
Yeah, and that's not to say that you don't ever quit something.
Right.
Like, you can pivot, and I don't think I want to do that anymore. I want to do this. Yeah. Even the runner I was talking about, she didn't keep running 10K. She ultimately winds up running a marathon.
Right.
So I think it's sometimes people mistake pivoting or adjusting.
I think the word adapting. Pivot is such a great replacement for quitting.
Yeah.
It's over, it ended, whatever. I mean, when I reframe the pivots I've made in my life from a pivot to, I made a pivot in my career versus I quit my old job. I feel like if you can view it as a pivot in life, even on a greater scale than just my career or whatever that change is, then pivot to me always sounds like progress.
Someone contacted us through our Instagram messaging and asked about
DMs.
DMs, sorry. Whatever. But asked about her young child and, is it okay to let them quit?
Yeah.
And when they're just trying things, I mean, I don't think you let them quit during the season, but that doesn't mean they have to keep playing soccer.
Right.
Like, if they don't like it, okay, we don't have to play it again next year. So that, I mean, that's a perfectly healthy way to go about things. You sample it. Oh, I love doing this, or I don't like doing that. I don't rather do something else. As long as I think you're not quitting just because it's hard.
Yeah.
Or too much of a challenge or whatever.
Like, well, we've talked about that. Especially in youth sports, what the more important goals are in that, outside of are you the best soccer player on the most elite team or whatever we want to call it. Yeah, it's going to be challenging, or it might be something that they're not great at, but if they're having fun and loving it, then continue on. Or if they're learning a great lesson or learning how to be a good teammate, that was the issue we ran into last weekend.
Oh, you had a story you wanted to tell about.
Did I not tell you this?
I don't think so.
So.
Oh, she wouldn't go out on
She would not go on the field.
Yeah.
So I'm reading her the definition of a teammate, the qualities of a good teammate and being supportive and a commitment to a team, and that your coach is just as much an authority as your teacher at school. It was the whole weekend was around commitments, being a teammate. If she wants to sit and cheer her team on, but she's going to show up to the games and cheer her team on. And if the coach says you're going on the field, you go on the field and you work your hardest. And if you come home and you say, Mom, I really hate this, I'll say, okay, then we won't do it next season.
Right.
Right. We're gonna stick with it, In that vein, it's we think about things that we're proud of achieving, for the most part, are not easy things.
Oh,
if you want to have pride at the end, you did something difficult. So whether it's parenting or playing a sport or winning the medal or learning to play that piece of music or getting an A on your chemistry, whatever it is, if you have pride in the end, then it was probably a challenge. And so if you can have that mindset that when you face challenges, okay, if I overcome this and if I stick with it and if I achieve this, I'll be so proud of myself.
Well, and it goes back to having a clear idea of who you want to be.
Yep.
And if we determine that we want to be someone who's resilient and, you know, mentally tough, mm-hmm. however you want to phrase that, and that we can handle whatever life throws at us, well, then we look forward.
I was going to say, you almost get excited when
you look forward to the difficulties. Yep. And good. You know, that's the...
Welcome. Yeah, let's do it.
Jocko Willink, little video on YouTube.
Yeah, good.
Good. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, oh, I didn't get the promotion. Good.
Good. What's next?
And if you frame it always in the sense, like, I'm going to learn something from this. Yeah. I'm going to get better through this. I'm going to get tougher through this. I'll become more resilient through this. Then, if the outcome isn't what you'd hoped for, there are still good things to be found.
Right.
And that's the whole point of that video. And, you know, we talk about the process and all of that. Well, that is it right there. Right. If you're locked in on the day-to-day work of becoming, then the outcomes are almost irrelevant.
Yeah. And,
that doesn't
mean
the
actual action you're taking, that's the...
They will take care of themselves.
Yeah.
That's, you know, Bill Walsh's book, the score takes care of itself.
Yeah.
If you every day are pursuing excellence and you're not rocked by whatever obstacles are in front of you or whatever failures, or mistakes are made, instead you just keep overcoming them. You keep getting up. Then regardless of what it is you're doing, it's going to pay off.
Yeah.
You'll get where you want to go. You'll become who you want to become, and you'll always be coming better.
Right.
And that's, you know, Lord knows I need to keep becoming a better version of myself, like much better. I don't get the alternative. Like,
right.
What will you choose to do with this life if that's not how you're
going?
Well,
and making change is challenging and it sometimes feels uncomfortable. But if you want to change, you have to give up the old. So I saw something on Instagram and it was, you know, if you prayed for this new life, you can't be upset when you realize you've lost your old one, because if you wanted something new, you have to give up the old. And that's whether it's habits or ways of thinking or actions and responses to, you know, various things in your life. If you want to do the new ones, you kind of have to do out with the old ones.
Well, the whole idea of being like emotionally comfortable, I don't even understand. Like, that's not how we should be living. Like, we should be constantly in search of higher, better versions of ourselves and new things to learn. That's exciting.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I think back on some of the ways I used to think, some of the things I did, I'm like embarrassed. And the same will be the case 10 years from now.
100%.
I'll look back now and I'm like, what was I thinking?
Right.
But that's good.
That's the goal.
Like, that's I evolution. Should be growing and learning and developing.
Right.
And I can't imagine living in a way like you don't learn something new every day.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Doctor, I don't know if it's Amen or Amen, the psychologist on Instagram.
You're talking about.
I saw a clip of a podcast or interview he was in. And I mean, this is nothing. Him saying it is no different than anybody else who has said it before him. But when you wake up in the morning, if you wake up and, ugh, it's going to be a crappy day. Man, this day sucks. I can't believe I had to get up this early. I can't believe I have a meeting first thing this morning. I can't believe whatever. Then it's going to suck.
Right.
Because you've told yourself it's going to suck, and that event's still going to take place. And so when it takes place, it's going to suck. But if you wake up and you say, you know, cheesy as it might be, I'm glad to be alive this morning. It's a beautiful, like, something for me when I first wake up, because I used to, now that I work from home, I haven't had to get up early in a long time. Something for me when I wake up and I'm just like, ugh, it's 6 o'clock, it's still dark outside. I get up, turn on the lights. Even if the sun isn't out yet, open the curtains, open the blinds, make the bed, and like setting that scene for like, if I just roll out of bed and the covers are flipped over and I'm still in my pajamas and the windows, like it feels very closed in and dark and like I should still be in bed. But if I set the scene like it's daytime and it's awake time, I instantly feel better. And so again, if that you can come up with ways to almost trick your mind into it being a good thing, or that it's a feel good thing, or waking up and saying, man, you know what? I really didn't want to have back-to-back-to-back calls today, but then I'm done. After those three are over, then I'm done. Or whatever way shifting it makes you feel better is such a more attractive and appealing way of thinking than, oh, this sucks.
Well, even being grateful for the fact that there are children to wake up and attend to.
Yep. If it's, oh, my kids, but it's, oh my God.
Or being grateful that you have a job.
Yeah, right.
You have meetings to go to.
Yep.
And that whole notion of I get to instead of I have to, that's a real game changer.
Yeah.
And I know I've used this example before. Jerry Lynch, he does it like a little box breath on several things every morning before he gets out of bed. He'll come up with a few things he's thankful for. And then there's a quick, you know, box breath on each one before he even gets out of bed. So he's spent whatever, a minute or two
focusing on positive things.
Yeah. Like, and it just keeps going back to like, which path do you want to go down?
Yep.
And which path are you going to follow and where does it lead?
Yep.
Well, being negative and cynical,
right?
That's not a realist. No, you're just negative and cynical.
Negative and cynical.
And instead of thankful and hopeful, that sounds like a way better existence to me.
Well,
and then it affects literally everything you do. Everything you do. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's parenting, school, work, piano, basketball, doesn't matter.
If that type of task or action sounds daunting or sounds like something you aren't comfortable with doing, or, well, how am I going to remember to do that every morning? It's so out of my normal routine. It's like the idea of, okay, for someone who wants to start, like my boss at work, we have this event that we host several times a year for the partners of our firm, and we focus on fitness, nutrition, and finance. So our team runs this. And so when she first started going, she was like, I didn't know how to eat properly. I didn't have an exercise regimen that I ever enjoyed. I didn't grow up as an athlete. She had no background in any of these things. And so after she went a few times, she started to pick up some of those habits that she wanted to better herself health-wise, nutrition-wise. She's like, at first, my goal was Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm going to work out 3 days a week. And so she's like, so at first, you know, Monday, okay, it's Monday, I'm going to do it. You know, she was like, I almost never miss Monday. But then Wednesday rolls around and, you know, coworkers want to go out for happy hour, and that sounds way more fun than working out. So you know what? I'll skip today, but I'll do it on Friday. And then it's Friday, and well, it's Friday. Like, I don't want to work out on Friday. And so she realized that schedule was not working for her. And so she committed, instead of 3 days a week, it was 20 minutes a day. She was like, if I can get up and just do 20 minutes, that's easy. That's the time it takes to make a cup of coffee and breakfast. And so she started doing that. She's like, and you know what? By day three or four, my 20 minutes was up. She was like, I would literally set a timer. And she said, and then I realized I was only halfway through the workout I wanted to get done. And so I kept going. And so setting those little habits of like starting small and pivoting if it's not working, and being able to recognize that if it's a habit that you really want to adopt and that you know will be good for you in the end, in the long run. And now she's like 20 some years later, and now it's become a habit. She doesn't have to, ugh, I got to work out this morning. So that mindset, whether it's journaling, stretching, we all need to stretch more. You know, stretching first thing in the morning or before bed or reading a book, whatever it is, set your goals small and accept that if one morning you fail, you get back on, or it's not working, pivot.
A gentleman at the Surf Pro, I was at this morning, Dan, he talked about, he has a vision board, pictures, quotes of, to remind him of who he wants to be and what he wants to accomplish. And I think the more you can have those reminders in your face, you know, whether it's Post-it notes in the bathroom mirror or in the refrigerator in the kitchen, whatever. Those things all are great ways to remind yourself of who you want to become.
That's that mind training. That is, if you keep seeing it or hearing it, whether it's a sticky note or a background on your phone or, you know, whatever it is to keep it in your face and in your mind on a regular basis, is going to teach you to keep saying it and then eventually believing it. And all things on social media where people are putting pictures of themselves as a child on their home screen or their phone. And when they have, you know, negative self-thought, like, would I say that to my younger self? Would I say these words to that little girl or that little boy? And that's just a little, another way to say, why am I talking to myself this way?
I sent this quote this morning from the Indian Journal of Psychiatry. Don't ask me how I came across the quote, but I did. From several years ago.
Don't question anything.
But the biochemistry of our body stems from our awareness. Belief-reinforced awareness becomes our biochemistry. Each and every tiny cell in our body is perfectly and absolutely aware of our thoughts, feelings, and of course, our beliefs.
100%.
There is a beautiful saying, nobody grows old. When people stop growing, they become old. If you believe you are fragile, the biochemistry of your body unquestionably obeys and manifests it. If you believe you are tough, your body undeniably mirrors it. And that
it
speaks exactly what you're talking about. Like, you can choose one way to see yourself and your life in this world.
Yep.
And I choose optimism and living on the ascension, to quote the great aunts and Dorrance.
You've quoted that in every podcast.
I know. I love that idea. So I think that, I don't know, cherishing the one life we have.
Yeah, that's it.
And making the most of it. Then it doesn't matter like what it is that you do.
Yeah, you're doing it well with intention, with effort, with positive outcomes. Yeah.
In one sense, everything you do matters. Yeah. All right, then let's learn how to tackle it the most effective way possible.
Right.
So we can get the most out of it. We can learn from it and we can keep growing, keep getting better, and we can help others do the same.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point of what we're doing.
And to come full circle on this conversation, the whole point was to start talking about this is for everybody. And we very quickly got off the subject of sports because this is for everybody. This is not just high performance. Cause we talk about that a lot and that phrase a lot.
Yep.
It's not just for those. Like you said, it's even if you're bad at math and you'll want to be better, this is for you. If you struggle with something, this is for you. If you're great at something and you want to get better or at least keep the greatness where it is, this is for you. And it's a win-win situation.
Amen. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Unbound Performance Podcast.
Your support helps us continue to build our community. If you're enjoying this content, please like, subscribe, and share.